Amen. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. And He's a good Savior, a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. Amen. A wonderful Savior is He. Amen. Amen. All right. We're going to be looking in Mark chapter 5. Anybody got a word on your heart while we're turning there? If you got something you need to say or do, I don't want to mess you up. Amen, Brother Hall. Yes, sir. Thank God I know what they're talking about. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter number 5. I've preached from this text before here, and this is one of my favorite texts. There's a lot packed in. The book of Mark is a book of action. Mark is writing about the servant of the Lord, the Jesus Christ, in his pictation as the servant, and shows us the picture of him there that way. And in that, Mark packs a lot of the doings, not necessarily so much of the sayings, or maybe not even so much about the setting, but he puts more of the doings of the Lord. And it's packed, but chapter 5 just seems like it's so action-packed, if I could say it that way, with action going on in the hand of the Lord, in the life of the Lord. I want to pick up reading verse number 22, Mark chapter 5, verse 22. Read down through verse number 34, and then I'll break off and we'll pray and I'll bring my message. Dealing with this, particularly with this woman with the issue of blood. And I want to preach on the thought, touching Jesus by faith. That's the thought. Touching Jesus by faith. It goes along with what Brother Herford was saying about praying sincerely, intently, intensely, and knowing that you've touched God. Amen. And that's what happened to this lady in her life. Mark chapter 5, verse 22. The Bible says, "And behold, there came or cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, Lord, it is.
I'm thankful for everything that we've enjoyed in Sunday school.
Thank you, Lord, yes.
For the blessing of fellowship, Lord, with the people. I'd ask you, Lord, to touch our pastors and preachers this morning. And Lord, that you'd use him to stir up our hearts and revive us again that we might rejoice in thee.
Yes.
I pray you'd call sinners to repentance.
Yes.
I'd ask you, Lord, to get glory and honor in your wonderful name and bless every family that's here today and those that have special needs. We thank you for doing it in Jesus' love. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, and I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, the Bible is filled with impossible and hopeless cases until they meet Jesus. Situations in the Bible that appear to be hopeless, appear to be impossible, so many of them, seem as if there is absolutely no solution. There's storms in the Bible, there's needs and sicknesses, diseases, and even death that is hopeless. Many other situations that to the human mind is impossible that are seemingly handled with such ease by the hand of our Lord. Amen. That's the power of God. This section of Mark's gospel, as I said to you, is action-packed. It's filled with several impossible situations in this chapter. Chapter number 5, there's a storm that has arisen. There's a man with a demon. I mean a very bad demon. Bunch of demons. A great problem there. There's a little dead girl in this chapter. And all of it, Jesus handles sometimes with just a word. Just by showing up, Jesus proves Himself to be more than capable of handling any problem. Amen. I believe that's the purpose of it. It's to show us that our God is able. There is nothing too hard for our God. Amen. I believe that one of the truths that are demonstrated over and over in the pages of our Bible is that God is more than adequate. Amen. As the song said, He's more than enough. Amen. And I'm glad that He is. There's no impossible situations with our Lord. Amen. There's no hopeless predicaments with our Lord. I'll say it this way. Your situation is not hopeless. Your storm is not hopeless. Your sin is not hopeless. Your sickness is not hopeless. Your son or your daughter or your loved one is not hopeless. Nothing is hopeless with the Lord. Amen. Is there anything too hard for God? That's what one of the verses say. And He, of course, He doesn't even have to answer it. It's such a silly question. Of course there's nothing too hard for our God. Amen. So our Lord encounters another hopeless illustration or situation right here in the text that we read. This woman with the issue of blood. Our Lord's on His way to heal this man's daughter. He's not, if I could say it this way, He's not thinking about this woman. He's not on His way to heal her. Matter of fact, He's on His way away from her. It's as if she has to chase Him down to get the help she's looking for. He's leaving the town. He's leaving that area. And so He's headed in a different way. But on that way, as He's going to heal that little girl, He's surrounded. He's thronged, the Bible uses that word, of people there. There's a great crowd of people. And the people throng Him. They jostle Him from every side. But in the midst of that crowd, there's this poor, weak, helpless woman. Probably timid, is the way I imagine her. A dying woman that reached out. Another text says she touched the hem of His garment. Amen. Just touched the border. Just touched the fringe. Amen. Of His garment. Can I say to you, there's enough power just on the fringe of our God. Amen. There's enough power there to heal any disease and to help any home and any problem. Amen. And I'm glad that's right. When she touched the Lord, she was instantly and completely changed. Amen. Her problem was transformed. Amen. And I'll say there's probably people in this room, in our audience, there's probably people listening over the airwaves. They really need a life transformation about now. They really need God to do something. They need a radical change in their life. Can I say to you that if you can get to Jesus, and if you can just get enough faith to touch Him by faith, your life can be changed. I believe that. Amen. Now today we're going to look, and if you'll allow me to take this hopeless situation of this woman in Mark chapter number 5 and show you some things from it. The facts of this story can be applied to the facts of our own life, our own story. And I believe we can illustrate and see some things there, how that we can get help. There's three primary points I want to bring out. I want to point out, and these are simple, just real simple. First of all, I want to point out her suffering. I want you to see how bad her case is. Then I want you to notice her scheme or how she came up to get that fixed. We think of scheme as a bad thing. It's not always a bad thing. But her suffering, her scheme, and then her salvation as she did touch the Lord. Now notice verses 25 and 26. You'll see this woman's suffering. Before I go to verse 25, I read those verses from up before that in verse number 22. I read to you down through this because I wanted you to see the picture that here's a man with a need and he gets our Lord's attention, if I can say it that way. It's not as if our Lord's only got a one-track mind. I don't know how many tracks are on our Lord's mind. If He can keep Mars spinning while He's dealing with me and you down here, amen. He can keep everything else going while He's dealing with me and you down here, amen. He can hear and answer prayers in China while He's listening to prayers in America. Thank God. He's a mighty big God. He's not got a one-track mind. But if I could look at it that way, and you could see it that way in the human perspective, that this man has got his attention. His problem has got our Lord's attention, and our Lord's headed to deal with that. But this woman's got a problem seemingly as if he's not taking notice of it. And she's got to get to him. But in order to get to him, she's got to get through some others to get to him. And I say a lot of times sinners have to get through a lot of things. They had to get through some things to really get to Jesus. Amen. But I will say it'll be worth your while to press through the crowd if you can just touch the hem of his garment. Amen. So notice her suffering. Verse number 25. The Bible says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse." Think about the suffering this woman had gone through. This is not something she's just had a week or a month. Or even a year. She's had it for 12 years. This issue of blood. Her suffering can be seen in three different ways. I see her affliction and her anguish and her agony. And I'll point these out. Her affliction, verse 25. "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years." That phrase, issue of blood, that means she was hemorrhaging. It means she was bleeding. That issue, there is a flowing of the blood in this woman's body from some way. That's the idea that the word issue means. Something, we don't know what, something had caused an internal hemorrhaging in this woman. And it had been going on now for 12 long years. So you see her affliction. Secondly, her anguish. Verse 26, "and had suffered many things." Underline that phrase. "And had suffered many things of many physicians." You know what that means? That means that some of the things they'd done for her hurt her instead of helped her. Amen. Amen. They hurt her instead of helped her. I just read a prayer letter last night from a man that I met when I was in North Carolina, a man that's been in Africa for a number of years now, and he's just come back to the States. He told about one of their leaders in the church that they'd started there in Africa. I had gotten sick recently, and his family sent to the witch doctor to get him some medicine. And the minute he took the medicine, he started vomiting and didn't stop till he was dead. So the medicine didn't help him. It hurt him. And that's what was happening in this lady's life. She had anguish because she'd been to many physicians, and yet she had suffered. Then it said, "and she had spent all she had and was nothing bettered." I underline that phrase, nothing bettered. This constant flow of blood would have caused her some suffering on its own. I want you to notice, if you can, a minute as we examine the different areas of her suffering. And the reason I'm doing this is because really, in order for us to get help from our problem, we got to be honest about our problem. Amen. We got to look at it and weigh it. We can't gloss over it. We got to admit it for what it is, the problem that is. She had, first of all, she had a physical anguish. This constant loss of blood, this woman no doubt would have been weak, probably anemic. She would have probably been pale to look upon, having no energy at all. And the least little effort, no doubt, would have worn her out. An interesting note about this particular disease that she had. Our Lord called it, in verse 34, He called it a plague. That's the last word of verse 34. "Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." That word plague is Strong's number 3145. It's from a Greek word that is translated elsewhere in the Bible as scourging. To whip is what it means. To whip. In Acts 22:14, it's called scourging. In Hebrews 11:36, it's called scourgings. Talking about when our Lord was whipped at the post at Pilate's hall. And so this woman's disease, it was as if it was a whip that constantly lashed out at her. It was as if it was something that every moment when she thought she had a little relief, there's another lash that struck and smitten her again. And so it seems like it's beating her down day after day. I'm talking about her plague, her physical anguish. Secondly, she had a medical anguish. Now, we're told that she tried many remedies of all the physicians of her day. She had suffered much, the Bible said, under their care. And we can only imagine what some of those superstitious remedies might have been. Some of the things that they may have offered. But we do know this, they were all to no avail. She had physical anguish. She had medical anguish. Thirdly, she had social anguish. This fact of her having this issue of blood, some of the commentators, some men believe that this probably started when she was a young lady, reached the age of puberty, and now for 12 years, the lifespan on those days were not that long. That would have meant more than likely she did not have a husband. Would have meant more than likely she's now lonely. She's an outcast and on her own. She doesn't have a husband. She doesn't have children. She's got a problem in her body. She was not allowed to work around others for the danger of contaminating them and making them unclean by her defilement. And so because of that, she would have been a pauper, no doubt. She would have probably been poor to start with, but she spent all of her money on these positions. She's got social problems. She's a beggar in order just to live. She's got emotional anguish. Number four, emotional anguish. The Bible says she'd been that way for those 12 years. Again, you think of the rejection in her life, thinking that I'll probably never marry. I'll probably never bear children. I'll never be able to have a happy home. I'll never be able to enjoy life like others do. I see her now not only in pain. I see her not only weak, but I see her lonely, desolate, probably at a point of despair, given up, that she's in a hopeless condition. And then number five, she's got religious anguish. Because under the law, a woman with an issue of blood is unclean. Anything or anyone she touched would be ceremoniously unclean. Amen. As a result, she could not mingle with other people. She was like a leper, cast out, set aside, had to be confined, quarantined, as we would call it this day. Amen. She was ceremonially defiled. She could not worship in the woman's court at the temple. She could not go to the house of God because she was unclean. Because of her sickness, she's an outcast from the house of God. And I tell you, there are some sinners that feel as if their sin is so bad that just to sit in the house of God would be a defilement. I've talked with people. I remember an old man back in North Carolina that just lived on the same road our church was on. And he'd say, "I'm just an old sinner." He said, "I ought to be in church, but I don't deserve to be able to sit in church with you good folks." That's what he'd say. It's sad. I tried to encourage him. We wanted him to come. He knew we did. He never came. Leviticus chapter 15, verse 19, the Bible says, "And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even." Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25 through 27 says, "And if the woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of her issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. Every bed whereon she lieth all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation. And whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even." So she had all this anguish in her mind. Social outcast, emotional anguish, financial anguish is this last one that we look at. Again, the Bible said she had spent all she had. Amen. These doctors that she'd gone to with their useless remedies had not at all helped her. If we could say they helped her at all, they helped her out of her money. That's right. They had done, and perhaps, and I'm not fussing at them, perhaps they'd done all they knew to do. Perhaps they'd done all that was humanly possible to do. But they had drained her bank account in the process of this. Amen. Can I plug something right here real quick? I know there's a lot of talk about health care. I don't believe you've got a right to be healthy. God allows some people to be born with problems. And it's not up to man to have to fix all those problems. And some of our problems we do bring on our own. Understand that. But if we're not careful, we get the idea the government is responsible to keep all their people healthy. No, they're not. They're not. Amen. So we say, well, health care is so high and so unaffordable and all the, that it was that way in our Lord's day. Amen. I'm just saying, this woman had gone to the doctor time and time again. She had gone as long as she could go till now. She's got no money and she had no help with all that. She's now bankrupt. Now, having no husband, having no children to look after her, again, I say she's probably reduced to begging. She's probably reduced to the place that she's got to have some help daily in order to survive. So we see this woman's only a sad, sickening, serious sickness that she's got. Her anguish. Let me say number three. I'm talking about her sickness now, her agony in her sickness. Verse 26, that last phrase, after she'd gone to these doctors, after she'd spent all of her money, the Bible said, but she rather grew worse. But rather grew worse. After years of pain, and I'll plug this in here, because this is human, it's human nature, that when you have a problem, you can muster up a little bit of inner strength just in the belief that one of these days, before long, I'm going to get better. But after this thing's drawn out, after you've had enough doctors look at you and just shake their head, and say, that's above me. That's beyond my power. After a while, that anguish and that agony starts coming in. And you wonder, is there any hope at all? Here's what I believe. After a number of years of pain, after worthless doctors, useless remedies, hopes that have risen only to be dashed, I believe this woman has reached a place of shattered dreams, and she's living with a death sentence over her head. She knows that this can't keep going on like it's going. She will eventually die of this disease. Her life, if I could say it this way, is literally draining from her body one drop at a time. Little by little, day by day. Leviticus 17:11, the phrase we use often, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Her life was draining day by day. Now, my Bible, I've got a Cambridge Bible. I've got the real thing. Amen. I've got a Cambridge Bible. And the way it's laid out, verse 26 is the end of the page. Down here at the bottom, the end of the page. And I read it this way. And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. That's the end of the page. But thank God there's another page. Turn that next page over. When she had heard of Jesus, I said, woo! Amen. There's where the difference comes in. Amen. When she had heard of Jesus, I don't know how she heard about Him. I don't know where she heard about Him. I just know she did hear about Him. Somewhere along the lines. And so we enter into this, not just her sickness, but her scheme. Amen. I see the scheme, the plan that developed in her mind, if I could say it that way. Our text reveals that, tells us about how this woman came to Jesus. Look at verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. Amen. And it's almost as if she is saying, I don't deserve to touch Him, but if I can just get close to Him, if I can just get to something that is His, I can get some help from Him. Amen. And so she started developing these thoughts. I want you to think of, first of all, her reasons. In verse number 27, when she heard of Jesus, faith comes by hearing. Amen. And hearing by the Word of God. I want to thank God for the day I heard about Jesus. Amen. Amen. I thought about it yesterday when we were in the nursing home, that second nurse home, singing that man that had come in with the Down syndrome. We'd sung several songs. He hadn't seemed to be affected. Matter of fact, I thought he'd gone to sleep. Didn't you, Brother Bell? I don't know if you noticed it, but he's sitting there and it's as if he'd gone to sleep as we were singing. But Sister Sue Ann asked us to sing page 87, Jesus Loves Me. And of course the children know that song. That perked that young man up. Amen. He recognized that song. And we got to singing Jesus Loves Me. He started singing it along with us. Amen. And then the next song that we sang, It was, brethren, we have met to worship. That's when he got up, amen, and started waving his hands and praising God again, amen. Because we ought to worship a Jesus that, praise God, loves us, amen. I don't know when I first heard of Jesus. I was 8 days old. As far as I know, the first time I ever went to church, I don't remember it. But I was told about it. But when I was 8 days old, Mom and Dad took me to a revival meeting. They said a revival meeting at the church my dad grew up in. They went to a revival meeting and Mom and Dad got saved. Amen. So I'm sure I heard about Jesus from 8 days old. And then on, I had grandparents that loved God, knew God. I heard about it. But I thank God for the day I really heard. Amen. That day when it was more than Mama telling me. It's more than Daddy speaking to, more than the preacher saying it, amen. When all of a sudden it's the Holy Ghost, amen, that told me about Jesus, and somewhere in that speaking of Jesus, I realized there's hope for my case. I had a sickening case. I had a serious case. Amen. I had a deadly case, but by the grace of God, there was life waiting for me, amen, if I could just get to Him, amen. And so she heard about Jesus. There could be a lot of speculation about how she heard, I don't know. But I wonder if maybe she'd heard about the fact that Jesus healed a leper back, and that's similar to her case. Unclean, cast out, quarantined, kept away. But Jesus healed a leper in Mark chapter number 1, verses 40 through 42. Maybe she'd heard about that. Or maybe she'd heard in this same chapter about Jesus going across the lake and healing that man over yonder in the Gadarenes. You remember that? That man that had devils. He was secluded from his family too. It was devils that kept him secluded. It wasn't disease. It was devils. This was a man that had a serious case as well. It wasn't just a devil. It was multiple devils. I mean, he had a lot of problems. But she heard about how Jesus came, and when they found this man again, they found him clothed and sitting and in his right mind, praise God, sitting at the feet of Jesus, amen. And maybe she thought, if he can do that for a leper, if he can do that for a devil-possessed man, maybe there's hope for me if I could just touch the hem of his garment. I don't know. Maybe she'd heard through some other poor sinner on the fringes of society that had got some help from the Lord. They'd met the Lord. I think of another man on the fringe of society. A man by the name of Zacchaeus. He's up in that tree with Nicodemus, Brother Hall told me about. Amen. That's another story. Zacchaeus, that was on the fringe of society. I mean, he was a traitor. He is a publican. And yet our Lord helped that man, saved that man. Amen. Maybe she heard from some other outcast. That's a good word I'm looking for. You know, we're living in a world today, people are getting more and more perverted. It's not just a sodomy. I mean, there's all kinds of things that's perverting. Everything's getting perverted. Our food's getting perverted. All these GMOs and hormones and things they're pumping in there is perverting our food. Amen. We're living in a day, and just for what it's worth, people have dyed their hair, colored their hair for years, but now they're not happy with human hair color. They want something that's inhuman. That's right. Amen. They want something that looks like some kind of alien. And you know why? Because they feel like they're an outcast. That's why they're piercing themselves with all these, I mean, gaudy look. Who could think any of that looks attractive? Now, it does look attractive when a fish has got a hook hanging out of his lip. Yeah. But it ain't attractive when a man or a woman's got a hook hanging out of their lip or their eyebrow. Amen. You know why they're doing that? They feel like they're on the fringes of society. And in some cases, they want to celebrate. That's what they call it. Celebrate being on the fringes. You know what they need? They need to get out of that fringe. And the only way they can is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord can reach out to where they are. Amen. Or they can reach Him if they will, if they'll hear and come to Him. Amen. So she had these reasons. And somewhere, this woman had heard that there was power in the touch of our Lord. She realized He had some power. She not only had reason, she had resolve. Verse number 28 said, "For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole." Amen. So she'd heard about Jesus, and she knew she had to get to Him. Amen. She came to realize that Jesus was her only hope. When I think about this woman, Mark 5, I said it tells the story. Not only this woman, she'd spent all she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. I think back about that Gadarene demoniac again, the man we call the Gadarene demoniac. A man in Gadara had all those demons. They had tried to help him. I imagine, maybe, I don't know when it started in his life, these things, this devil possession. Maybe as a young man, he started having these thoughts, suicidal thoughts, violent acts and outbursts and things like that. Perhaps they took him to doctors. Perhaps they took him to psychologists. Perhaps they took him to the law. The Bible talks about that they tried to bind him. They had tried to fetter him. They tried to chain him. They weren't doing that just to constrain him, although no doubt they needed that. They really probably wanted to help him, but they couldn't help him. Amen. I'm thankful for these 12-step programs people have come out with. They're trying to help people. But can I tell you the only thing that'll really help them is Jesus? Amen. And the only way you'll ever really get help is to realize I don't have hope everywhere else. Amen. I don't have hope everywhere else. I only have hope in the Lord. She came to believe that if she could just get to Him, she could be helped and she could be healed. Amen. She displayed her determination by getting to Him through the crowd. The crowd was not dividing to let her in. The crowd was not leading her to Him. They were trying to keep her out. They were separating her from Him. I imagine, this is just my imagination, but I imagine she elbowed her way through. I imagine that she caused some disturbance in the crowd as she's making her way through. Now you think about this, every person she touches is ceremonially unclean. If they knew that, if they knew who she was, they recognized who she was, recognized what had just happened, that she just defiled them ceremonially in their religion, they'd no doubt be angered. Instead of trying to help her get to Jesus, they're going to be knocking her back. Maybe a crowd could have gathered if it had happened that they realized it could have gathered and beaten her, possibly even stoned her for doing such a thing, coming out in that crowd and defiling them. But you know what? She's taking her life in her hands. She's saying, I'm dead either way. I might as well go to Him. That's the only hope I've got. And I see her pushing her way and elbowing her way through and getting to Jesus. Amen. But think about this. Not only the fact of the defilement, but the disease. She's weak. It probably took a lot of effort just to get out of her chair or to get out of her bed, to get out of her house, to get down the street, to get through the crowd. She showed some dedication. Amen. Amen. She was determined to get to Jesus. She was desperate and she was determined. I really believe God will help desperate, determined people. I really do. I believe He will. I wonder, have you ever reached that point in your life? Whether it's salvation, and if it is salvation, here's what the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. There's only one. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There, no man come to the Father but by me. There ain't no way but Jesus. That's what He's saying. Amen. Amen. You've got to come to Him for your help. That's the only way you can ever get any help. The sooner you realize that Jesus is the only person that can help you, the better off you'll be. Because you can get to Him. Amen. That's why Matthew 11:28, our Lord said, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Come to Him. Hebrews talks about we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I'm glad He can be touched. That's why we can come boldly, and we ought to come boldly to Him for our help. Amen. Why? Listen, why should you carry your burden any further? Why should you go unhelped any further when you can get to Jesus? I see her sickness. I see her scheme. Let me give you the last one, her salvation. Her salvation, verse 29 through 34. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of her plague. That's physical healing. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto Him, thou seest the multitude throng in thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And He looked round about to see her that had done this. I like that the way it says it. He knew who she was. He knew it was a her. And He knew which her she was. Amen. But the woman, fearing and trembling, came and fell down before Him and told Him all through. Now why? She's just got physical healing. Why did she need to say it publicly? Because she needed more than physical healing. Amen. I said faith comes by hearing. Faith, I believe, I still believe God can heal bodies. Amen. I still believe that God can do anything. Amen. But I know He's interested in saving sinners above all. Amen. Faith comes by hearing. But when you get, how you believe on the Lord, you believe in your heart. But there's another step that needs to be taken. Confessing with the mouth. Amen. That's scriptural. And so our Lord's bringing her to this place. Now, let me lay it down to you this way. Let me think about this healing of this woman. This woman persevered. This woman pressed through the crowd, got to Jesus, and touched Him by faith. Amen. And instantly, she felt the healing powers of Christ come into her. I want you to notice four things about this that came to salvation. God's more interested in saving sinners than He is healing bodies. Amen. You heal a body and it's still going to die eventually. But if you save a soul, they're going to live forever. Amen. Amen. This salvation, these four important things about our salvation. First of all, it was powerful. In verse number 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed. Amen. So here's this woman that something happened in her body. There was a feeling, there was a knowledge, there was power that was demonstrated in that woman's life. Amen. I personally believe that salvation, when salvation comes, I believe there'll always be something to see. Not just something to hear, not just something to know and believe. There'll be something to see. And here's why I say that. Because that verse of Scripture, we use 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The next word, behold. You know what that means? It means, here's something to see. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There'll be a newness of life that comes about. In other words, when Christ saves a soul, He don't just save a soul. He saves a life and it'll be born out in their life. There'll be something there to say. Amen. And you go over and over through the Scriptures that it's that way. You remember when our Lord, they let that man down through the roof and born of four, they let him down there and they've got the man in the bed and our Lord said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And that crowd, He didn't deal with his physical. He dealt with his soul. He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And they said, who can forgive sins but God only? And Jesus said, all right. And He knew their thoughts. And I'm paraphrasing, of course, but He said, all right, so that you'll know that the Son of Man not only has power to forgive sins, but has the power, not only has the power to heal body, but forgive sins. He said to that man, take up thy bed and go thy way. You know what He was saying? He said, I not only said it and you heard it, I want you to see something. I want you to see something. When God saves a person, He shows something in their life. Salvation is not us getting a light that we can hide under a bushel. It's a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Amen. Amen. And He wants us to show that. So that's in this woman's case. There's something happening. I see this woman when she came near the Lord. She was near enough that she stretched forth her hand. I imagine her hand was trembling, first by exasperation, tiredness, weariness, but also by fear. I don't know if there's any doubt there or not, but I expect she stretched forth a trembling hand and touched the hem of His garment, praise God. And immediately on that touch, the Bible says something happened, amen. Something happened in her body, the fountain of her blood. If I could say it this way, the spigot was turned off. No more dripping her life away. Amen. No more her life going away. On that very instant, she received what all those expensive doctors, all those intrusive remedies couldn't do. She got help for her body. She felt the change in her body. I believe she knew that she's a different woman. Amen. It was not only personal, it was powerful. Number two, it was powerful. Verses 30 through 33, I'm not going to read those again. I read it, but Jesus knew there was some power involved. It was powerful and it was personal. He said, who touched me? As soon as this woman touched our Lord, He knew what had happened. Now, I say that just for the record, He could have told you about it the day before. It didn't take Him by surprise. And when we read it these ways, we think, you know, it looks like it took Him by surprise. I realize He's displayed his humanity as well as his Godhead. Amen. But he knew what had happened, and he knew in himself, she knew in herself she'd been healed. He knew in himself that virtue had gone out of his body. Not that it had depleted his virtue. Not that it had lessened his power. But he knew when something had pulled and had received a little bit of his power. Amen. Amen. I'm thinking about the sun, that big ball up there in the sky that's been burning for, we know, at least 6,000 years. Evolutionists think for millions and millions and millions and millions. But that sun's been burning up there all those years. And we've never had to say, let's shut the curtains so the sun don't have to shine so much so we can save a little bit of that. Although Al Gore and some of his crowd, Jimmy Carter and some of their crowd, they think we got to be careful. We're going to use it all up. But we've never had to send Exxon or BP or somebody up there to fuel it again and say, you know, we need to keep this thing going. You know what? God put it out there, just like Brother Doug said. God said it, and it was so. Amen. God put it out there, and it's still going. Amen. But just like that sun, it's not limitless power. It is limited, but it's got so much power that it appears to be limitless to us. You think about God that just made it with a word. Just thought it and said it, and it was so. Amen. That's the power. So when this woman touched our Lord, it didn't dilute his power. It didn't diminish his power. But he knew when somebody had tapped in to his power. Amen. And he turned and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now here's an important part. I want to get this today. There's no doubt in my mind at least dozens of people had touched his clothes that day. Probably scores or hundreds of different people had touched his clothes that day. But although many had touched him, only this one had touched him with a finger of faith. I don't know how many sinners was there that Sunday morning I got saved. I really don't know. But I'm glad one of them touched him, amen, with a finger of faith, amen. That morning he saved my soul, amen, amen. Now you think about this, our Lord could have let this woman just go on back, go on her way. Never said anything. He could have. That physical healing. But he wanted her to have more than physical healing. He wanted her to have spiritual healing. He's interested in more than just these bodies. He's interested in the soul. Amen. Amen. When Jesus spoke to this woman, you'll notice that she fell before him in fear. Amen. That, by the way, was the very reason, I believe, why she came behind him silently. She didn't call out and say, "Hold on, Lord, I need you." She didn't call out to the Lord. She didn't make herself public. She was afraid to make herself public. Again, if they recognized her, the crowd recognized her, known that she had touched them as well, she's defiling them every time. But listen, she didn't have to worry about defiling him. He's holy, harmless, without sin, and not only had no sin, could not have sinned. Amen. He was so powerful, nothing could dot his holiness, spot his holiness in any way. Amen. But our Lord, she had slipped up behind him, but our Lord wanted her to make it public. Our Lord wanted her to make something known and be seen openly. Amen. Perhaps she was afraid Jesus would lash out at her in anger, like perhaps others had. Perhaps she was afraid of how those others would have treated her, knowing that, again, she had defiled them until sundown. But can I say this? A lot of times sinners wonder, how will the Lord receive me? If I come to the Lord in my sin, I come to the Lord with my problems, He's so holy, is He going to be, if I can say this, is He going to be mean to me? Listen, she need not have feared our Lord. Amen? Our Lord was not interested in humiliating her. Our Lord was interested in helping her. Amen. Our Lord was not interested in driving her away. He was interested in grafting her in. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad that's the God that I serve. He was interested in saving her soul. Amen. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And he turned to look. And he got the response that he expected and he wanted out of this woman. Verse number Verse number 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Amen. She bowed at his feet. That's what he wanted. She confessed with her lips. That's what he wanted. She made the whole thing public before all. That's exactly what our Lord wanted. Amen. It was a public outward acknowledgement of what she knew had taken place in her heart. What she knew had taken place in her body that the others could not see and could not have known without her saying it and telling that story. Amen. Now, I'm back to my point that I started at earlier. Jesus was on his way away from her. Jesus was on his way to heal the daughter of this man named Jairus, this little girl that was at the point of death. As Jesus was making his way to that man's house, he's surrounded by this thronging crowd, and yet in spite of, by the way, that's a serious mission he's on. Jairus has come and got our Lord, if I could say it, maybe got him by the hand, got him by the arm, and he's leading him. I think Jairus is wasting no time. Jairus is probably getting a little upset that this crowd is slowing them down. Our Lord's on an important mission, but not so important that he couldn't take time for one more sinner. Amen. He's got a lot of things to do. He's got a lot of things on his schedule that day. And by the way, he may have a lot of things on his schedule today. Who knows? The trumpet may be about to sound. Amen. Who knows? But what God's got great things in store for this day. But I want to tell you, he's got time for one more sinner. Amen. If they'll only come to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, that's a blessing to me to know that God, that controls every atom of every molecule of everything in our world, is interested in the soul of one person. Amen. The sins that He'll blot out. Praise God. Amen. Why did He come in the first place? Why did He take on a body of flesh in the first place? I realize Christ came to die on the cross. But why did He take on a body? Here's why. So He could be touched. You can't touch a spirit. Amen. You can't touch a word. Amen. So the word had to become flesh. So the spirit became flesh. That he could be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Not only touched with what we go through, but touched by us that we could get the help that we need. Praise God. Amen. It was powerful. It was personal. Let me move on. It was profound what happened to this woman. Look at verse number 34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I want you to notice something here that I didn't realize till I studied it this time. Our Lord called this woman. His first word to her. His first word to her is daughter. He called this woman by name. He never called another woman in the whole King James Bible. This story is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And all three of them say this word, daughter. It's the only times you'll find our Lord saying that to a woman in the Bible. Why did he call this woman daughter? Because she's gotten a family. Her disease had kept her from having a family. She probably thought she'd never have a family. But Jesus turned to her and with one word he said to her, honey, you're in the family, amen. Woo! He could have called her sister. He could have called her woman. That's what he called his mother. That's what he called other women in the Bible. But this phrase, daughter, Brother Troy and Miss Jennifer know, has a special. I mean, thank God for boys. Boys, don't y'all think that means they love you any less? Amen. I know they don't. I'm thankful for every one of my boys, but I wouldn't take nothing from a girl. Amen. There's something that'll get to your heart. Don't you girls get the big head now. Something that'll get to your heart. Maybe it's because you know you want those boys to be rough and tough and you want to believe they are whether they are or not. But you want that girl to be fragile and humble and sweet. Now, I'm not that we don't want strong daughters, but you know, I don't want a masculine daughter. Amen. I've yet to meet a boy that says, "Preacher, have you seen the muscles on that girl?" Well, one fellow that used to be president. Most guys, I probably shouldn't have said that. Most guys are not interested in the muscles. It's their weakness that draws us to them. Amen. But something about a daughter, I'll get back to that. Something about a daughter that is just special. Our Lord looked at this woman, and with that one word He said to her, that one word says, "You're in the family." That one word says, "I love you." That one word says, "I'm going to take care of you." That one word says, "I'm here for you." Amen. That's what it says. I want to thank God for that day when I heard Him call unto me. Amen. And I knew He loved me and He gave Himself for me. Amen. And He would provide my needs. Amen. That's a word of acceptance. That's a word of relationship. It's a word of tenderness. It's a word of peace. This woman got a lot more than just a physical healing that day.
Amen.
Amen. The word whole in verse number 34. "And He said to her, Woman, thy faith hath made thee whole."
Right.
That Strong's number 4986. You ought to look it up when you get home. Strong's number 4986. It's translated at least 53 times in your King James Bible as saved. 53 times that same word is translated saved. So I wouldn't be doing harm to the Scripture to say, "Woman, thy faith hath made thee saved."
Right.
Amen. She got more than physical healing. She got soul salvation. She got eternal healing that day. By the grace of God, can I say she got more than she bargained for? Amen. Every sinner that ever came to Jesus, every sinner that ever met the Lord, got more than they bargained for. Amen and amen. I wrote down some things, and I got scriptures. I'm going to have to turn there. When we came to Christ, we got more than a fire insurance policy. Say amen right there. Amen. We became the children of God. We have a home in heaven. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Amen. We are given a new life in Christ Jesus. We're free from the power of sin. And we're free from the control and the dominion of sin. We're no longer enemies with God. Amen. We have now been reconciled unto Him. We are now fully and forever forgiven by the good grace of God. Amen. What happened to her was powerful. What happened to her was personal. What happened to her was profound. And last of all, what happened to her was permanent.
Amen.
Permanent. He said unto her, verse 34, "And He said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." That phrase, "go in peace and behold thy plague." That phrase, "go in peace." He's telling her that she did the right thing to get up from her chair, to leave her house and come to where He was that day. He's telling her she did the right thing to press through the crowd. That she did the right thing to make her way and not let anything stop her from getting to Him. He's congratulating her, if I could say it that way. He's reminding her that what she did was right. Maybe other men in the crowd, as I said, might have been offended, might have been angered that this woman had touched them even accidentally. But our Lord told this woman she'd done right in touching Him intentionally. Amen. As I said before already, He was not afraid of some ceremonial defilement. He's too high and holy for such as that. Amen. But He says this phrase, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Amen. I want you to get this. Here's a woman that's tried everything. She's tried everybody. I imagine that when they told her, when somebody just gave her a kook idea, she grasped at it. Because she wanted help. She knew she was going to die if she didn't get help. It was that serious. But she came to Christ, and He had finally and fully delivered her from her problem. Amen. There's people in our world today, they've tried everything they can to get off drugs. Some of them, I imagine they've tried everything they can to get off of maybe it's the pornography, the sexual sins that's got them so bound up, so tied in. They've tried all kinds of things. They can't get any help. But if they come to Jesus, they can. He can finally and fully deliver them. Amen. Free them from their plague. She was healed and would never be the same again. Amen. She had received a brand new life from the hand of the Lord. Now, in conclusion, let me say this. This woman experienced the healing, not just physical healing, spiritual healing, because by faith, she touched the Lord. I said earlier, no doubt other people in that crowd had touched Him too, but they hadn't touched Him like she did. There may be people in our audience this morning that you need to touch the Lord. Maybe there's people in our audience that you know others have touched Him and you've not yet. Maybe you've attempted. Maybe you've made an effort. But for whatever reason, this one woman looked to Jesus with eyes of faith. This one woman touched Jesus with a finger of faith and was made whole. I believe He can do it for others. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. As they come with a song, if the Lord spoke to your heart and you need to come, want to give an invitation time and allow you the privilege to come, whether it's for salvation, whether it's to pray for someone else, whether it's to pray about something totally different, if the Lord's speaking to you, would you obey Him? Father, I pray, take the Word of God. Thank You for the truth. Thank You, Lord, for the thrill of our own heart in thinking about it and how that You did it for us. And Lord, what you've done for others, You can do for even others and more. And Father, I pray that You'll do that this morning. Lord, I pray that somebody would trust You that hasn't yet. Somebody will press through the crowd, and in spite of everything, they'll get a hold of the hem of the garment. They'll get some help from our Lord. Lord, I pray You get the glory. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to come, obey the Lord. Do what He says while we sing.